In the name of Jesus, amen. The text is the one just read to you from the lectern. After much pleading and many promises to care for it, the parents finally relented and they got their children a kitten as a pet. True to their word, the children almost literally smothered the cat with affection and love. And the kitten, as it were, became a legitimate member of the family, with every possible need and more than it wanted supplied. Interestingly, as the cat grew older, he became more and more independent and less willing and ready to accept the family's concern and attention and affection. On one occasion later on in life, there was a violent storm and the cat was caught out in that storm, with the wind blowing and the lightning flashing and the thunder crashing and the torrential rains almost drowning him. But in all of that misery, that cat stubbornly refused every attempt by the children to get him to come inside where there would be shelter and where he would be warm and dry and where he would receive tender, loving care. He simply would not come in. Also, I guess because he was a tomcat, he would often be gone night after night, and no one knew exactly where he was. Although in all probability he was out having fun, roaming the alleys with his buddies, getting into fights. After one such lengthy absence, he returned in awful shape. His coat was blood-soaked and mud-caked. One of his ears was half-bitten off. An eye was gouged out. I'm sure he couldn't see out of it any longer. One of his worldly buddies or some other friend must have done it. He was just a mess. Well, when the kids saw him, they were obviously overwhelmed with pity, and they did everything they could to get that cat to come in the house where they could nurse him back to health and feed him and comfort him. You'd think that's what he'd want. You'd think he'd know what was good for him. But the stubborn cat refused. I guess his freedom to roam, to do his own thing, to run with the world was still too important to him. Finally, probably because he couldn't see very well any longer and because he couldn't hear very well either, he was out in the center of the street and a truck got him and killed him. It was a very painful experience, obviously for the cat, but especially also for everybody else. Certainly it was painful for the children. Even though that cat refused their every invitation to security and to care and to comfort, they still loved him. They did not want this to happen. But actually, we know better, don't we? We know that a stupid, stubborn wretch got just what he deserved, didn't he? I mean, considering what he was like, it was sort of by grace that he lived as long as he did. And no amount of affection, no amount of attention changed that cat one whit. I'm convinced that if he was to be changed or to be different, he would have to have died and been born again a different cat. Well, the invitation in this text is to people like that. And it is not an empty invitation, like invitations that we sometimes extend to at least certain people. Why don't you come to our house and visit us sometime? But we don't really mean it. The invitation of the text is like with the children. They really wanted that cat to come in. And the text is an open invitation to everybody. What the Holy Spirit wants is for everyone who reads it, who hears it, to believe it. The Heavenly Father earnestly desires the salvation of every single human being. Everything is, in fact, ready and waiting. It's all done and finished, and it's for all. If a man dies eternally, if he is cast out into outer darkness, it is not a failure on God's part to have prepared anything. But it is his stiff-necked stubbornness, his refusal to hear, that kills him, that damns him. People who refuse the king's invitation to the wedding of his son, who even make light of it and fun of it, should expect to incur the full fury, the full measure of his wrath forever. Like dry limbs, they should be cut off and cast into the fire and burned. They're dead. They're twice dead. They're dead now in time, and they're dead for all eternity. They couldn't possibly bring forth any fruit. To whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever? They're like Pharaoh, hardened and stubborn. Who is Jehovah that I should obey his voice, his invitation? Now then, why would the Holy Spirit fight? Why would the Holy Spirit strive for people like that to save them, beg with them, plead with them to come in? Why would the king spend all of his resources, every last farthing, to ransom, to make ready things for people like that? And why would he inflict, why would he pour out his awful wrath, not on those people who certainly deserved it, but on his only son, pure and innocent, so that people like that, stubborn and hardened, could live and be free indeed? And why would the son? Why would the son willingly take on the final effects of a life of dissipation and licentiousness and profligacy? Why would he, in fact, if you will, absorb the impact of the truck so that those people could live freely and abundantly, so that they could literally die, be buried with him, raised with him, really born again from the dead, new people? The poet says it in the hymn, "How strange is this great paradox to ponder. The shepherd dies for sheep who love to wander. Why?" The answer rests in God himself. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever," speaks of the everlasting gospel. It speaks of that great offering that God from eternity prepared for the sins of the whole world and in time came and made. And it's finished. The Lord of creation said so from the tree that really bears fruit. And whoever eats of the fruit of that tree lives forever. What a banquet. So today, if you will only hear his voice, it's the Holy Spirit pleading. Today, if you will only hear his voice, harden not your hearts. That's what the Holy Spirit wants. That is, that all men would hear and come. And the Spirit and the bride say, "Come," and let him that heareth say, "Come," and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For his flesh is food, meat indeed, and his blood is drink indeed. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. Ho, everyone that thirsts, come to the waters. And he that hath no money, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. It's an open invitation, and it's free, without money, without price. Incline your ear and come. Hear, the Lord says, and your soul shall live. Gloriously, he has sent out to the highways and byways and found us, bruised and broken and battered and torn. And he has invited us. He could have left us there to be struck dead finally, but no, he has invited us and even brought us in. He's poured wine and oil into our wounds. He's fed us and he's left enough and to spare in this world. He's really smothered us with attention. Now then, who wouldn't? Who wouldn't, as all of you have chosen to do, who wouldn't want to go out into the highways and byways and compel others to come into this banquet? What a feast. What a great life. Could there be a more satisfying life than that? A person can't help but speak of the things which he's heard and seen, like you. To bring men to this banquet, where they will receive the one thing needful, where they will feed on the bread of life, that's a work which really is a pleasure and which angels well might envy. May God give every one of us the strength and the willingness to do it until he calls us home to give us the crown of life. May he grant it for his dear son's sake. Amen.